Hey everyone, and welcome to another edition of Responsive Design Weekly Podcast. My name is Justin Avery, and I am the host of this podcast and the curator of Responsive Design Weekly, a weekly newsletter all about responsive design, but it's quickly turning into all about a whole bunch of stuff, not just responsive design. This is like the third time I've done this same podcast. The first time I got caught up trying to explain what critical CSS was, and I didn't have it all written down, and so as I was describing what is above the fold content and below the fold content and how the styles included within the critical CSS only shows the above the fold content, and that sits in a style tag within the head of the document, and then a JavaScript asynchronously calls the rest of the CSS to load the remainder. Basically, I was trying to describe what is, it should be kind of simple, but I just got confused and kept going back on myself. So I called it quits. Like halfway through the show, I just went cut, and I kind of just removed and deleted it. And then just then I was about 15 minutes into this show and then realized at some point very early on, it had stopped recording for some reason. I must have miskeyed something or used the mouse inappropriately. But there you go. That's what happens when you haven't been podcasting for a long time. You fall out of practice and you hit the wrong keys and break stuff. But I am getting back into it. These will be a lot shorter and sharper. I still really want to approach this podcast and have guests on, primarily because I'm sure you would much rather hear from the guests rather than hear from me ramble on for hours on end, and which is another reason why these other ones are going to be a little bit shorter. But the guests podcast, they take a lot of time as well. So it's a huge investment of getting in touch with guests, finding time, working around their time schedules, which often means late nights. Also coming up with the questions and the topics that you'll be speaking about. There's a bit of to and froing with the guests about that. And then the actual podcast itself goes for an hour or so. And then there's the editing afterwards and then putting it up on the site and getting transcripts done. It's a lot of work and I love it, but I've got a growing family and it's time is precious and sleep is even more precious with a little baby now too. So I'll keep these short and sharp. And so speaking of short and sharp, I will jump straight into this. The first thing I wanted to point out this week was a fantastic website built by the team at Sparkbox. So they have, they've got like an apprentice program. They take on, maybe not apprentices. It's sort of like when you take on grads. Is it grads? It's kind of, we'll go with apprentices. Basically, young folk who are looking for jobs or someone who's looking to move into the industry. You take them on, and it's more of a training thing. So you still pay them, but you wouldn't pay them as much as a full-time employee with lots of experience because they're learning the trade on the job. Now, at the end of the year, Sparkbox have put to them, like, let's build something. Now that you've learned about the web and how to build things amazingly, let's put it into practice and build something really cool. So this year they've built a thing called Lamp Post, and you can see this at lamppost.io. Now it's about, it's a sort of an aggregator for digital technology events in the Daytona, so in the Dayton area, but it's wonderful. The interactions are beautiful, it's super fast, it's lovely and responsive. There's this cute little animation and transition with the logo as you scroll up and down and as you move between different viewports if you resize the browser as well. It is just lovely. Great use of color. The design is wonderful. The layout is beautiful on any viewport. Great use of SVG. Just really good. At the moment, I'm going through sort of pulling apart the site and checking out the tools that they've used. And that will go up on the examples section of the website. So you can check that out then. But have a look at it for now. And if you're in the area, post up a meetup that you're having or go and attend one of the ones that they've got there as well. And while we're on, like, that is actually the featured site for this week's newsletter. Now, when I do a featured site, for those of you that are subscribed to the newsletter, each week it comes out and they've got this, it's got a nice header image and the images of a website and four different viewports, a desktop, a laptop, a mobile phone and a tablet. And instead of me moving the browser around and taking different screenshots at different sizes, there's a tool that I built called Am I Responsive? So you can see that on ami.responsivedesign.is. And you essentially, you just put your URL of your site into the import and hit enter, and it loads your site into each of those little devices. And the way it does that is it rewrites, there's four iframes, it rewrites the iframe source to be the URL that you want, and then it loads those in. Now, each of the iframes is set up with a specific width and height that matches the devices that I'm pretending to display them on, and then it uses CSS, not transitions, but CSS transform to scale. What's the term? I don't know what it is. I can't remember off the top of my head. But it's basically you use the scale and CSS to scale it down to fit within the image I have of the device, which is then applied as a background image. If you click on the image with this tool, you can move the different devices around. By clicking on the device, it brings it to the front. You know, when you're using like PowerPoint or Keynote, you can right-click and send to back or bring to front. Basically, clicking on the device brings it to the front. And you move it around and rearrange things. Anyway, then you take a screenshot. Well, I do, because it's the fastest way that I can kind of get that kind of look and feel that I'm after to showcase what a site looks across four different viewports. Now, the reason I mention it this time is because when I put lamppost in there, it didn't work. I hit go and I just got white screens. Now this sometimes happens, and I get maybe one or two emails at least a week from people saying, hey, love the tool, but doesn't work. It doesn't work for this site. It doesn't work for that site. Or I get redirected back to my site when I try and use it, or I just get the white screens. And the reason for that is there's a thing called X-frame options. Now, this is a setting that you have on the server, and it's a security setting. So you find this mostly for HTTPS sites, but what happens is that sometimes sites don't want to allow the content or themselves to be iframed somewhere else. Think bank sites, think Facebook, think Twitter. I remember years ago there was a Twitter issue where someone put a box like of a button and said click on this button or don't click this button, which of course we all clicked, and then using the layers that you have on a web page, it's basically layered over a follow button on Twitter. But made it, and so the iframe was like over the follow button, but it was hidden behind the button. But the button, when you clicked on it, it didn't activate. It actually clicked on the follow button. Anyway, it was super weird, but it was a bug. And the reason for it is because it was allowed to be iframed into other sites. So the lamppost site doesn't allow for it. So when sites show up as white, you can go into the dev tools and look at the console, and it will show up saying X-frame options set to deny, or X-frame options set to same origin, meaning that only sites with the same domain name are allowed to iframe this in. So it didn't work this time, but it does work most of the time. And if you are using it, thank you very much. I'm glad you get some use out of it. But if it doesn't work, check that first. And it's usually 99.99999% of the time that is the issue that people are having. So, but the site is wonderful. So go check out lamppost.io as well. So the other thing I saw this week was service workers. They're all over the place. They are brilliant. And there was a big chat talk. In Amsterdam, there was a conference called the Progressive Web App Conference, and it was set up by Google, but it wasn't exclusively for Google folks. There were lots of browser vendors there, all except for Safari, And it's not, well, it is their fault for not going, but subsequent tweets after the fact of the event indicated that they are incredibly keen to be involved in this discussion and moving in this direction, which is wonderful. It was just really short time between announcing the conference and it actually being on as well. So kudos to them for getting involved as well. Kudos for Google for setting it up. But yes, service workers, they're rad. You should definitely check them out. So in this week's newsletter, there's a few links to a couple of service workers resources. There's a video from the team at Google to talk about it. There, a lot of us have, if you're on GitHub, a lot of people put their GitHub projects up and they use GitHub pages to host it. Well, someone came up with a gist, which is essentially the service worker for any GitHub page. So you can just sort of copy and paste that in or use that gist, and then all of a sudden your GitHub pages are all offline first as well. So very, very cool. Service workers, massive thing. And essentially what the service worker is doing is it's the new app cache, but it's done right. If you're looking for any kind of article around how it should be implemented, check out anything from Jake Archibald. And also I know that Vitaly from Smashing Mag has recently had his team working on getting service workers working with Smashing Magazine. So now they did have some problems, but now when you visit Smashing Magazine once, if you come offline and go to visit it again, it will at least give you the latest article, which is well cool. People like The Guardian do a step even further, whereas if you're offline and you go to visit The Guardian, it actually gives you a crossword to do, Guardian crossword to do while you wait, which I think is super cool. And the last thing I wanted to mention is Safari. Even though they couldn't make this event, they are trying to get back into the game when it comes to their browser. It's kind of become the butt of everyone's joke now, where it used to be IE that we were like, ha, 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 IE, you're so rubbish. Now it's Safari, and I don't think they like it too much. But that's the current state of how the web is working at the moment. Now, Safari on iOS 10 is changing, and they're actually, I think this is really cool. This was a tweet from Thomas Fuchs on Twitter saying, of note, in Safari on iOS 10, they are going to allow pinch to zoom even when someone sets the meta tag to use a scalable no. Now, I think that is wonderful because I really don't like when people set use a scalable to no, because really users can decide whether or not they need to scale something to see it, right? You should be designing your site to allow people to zoom and your products not break. There was a bit of a backlash on Twitter from one or two people sort of saying, well, if the instruction's there, the browser really should adhere to it. I don't think the instructions should exist, but I can kind of see. Now, I haven't actually done tests because I don't have iOS 10 at the moment, but I wonder whether or not double tap won't automatically zoom in. You know, when you double tap on the phone, it will zoom in a certain amount. Double tap again, it will zoom back. I wonder if user scalable no will ignore the double tap, but it will allow the pinch and zoom. So the note itself on the release notes was that pinch and zoom is allowed even when user scalable is set to no. So I wonder if that's allowed and maybe just the double tap won't be. But it'll be interesting to see anyway. I think it's a step in the right direction. We want sites to be, well, we want people to be in control of the sites that they're using and use it in the way that they need to. But that's all for me this week. It's good to be back. Thank you very much for downloading. Thank you for keeping it in your podcast subscription list as well. That's pretty awesome. I've been off for ages. Yeah, that's it for me. I look forward to being back again next week. Enjoy your weeks. Check out those sites. Subscribe to responsivedesignweekly.com or go check out Responsive Design Is. You can pick up a responsive notebook at backpocket.co. There's a set of three notebooks covering each of the pillars of responsive design. And I actually added to the sets of notebooks, I've now got a Mars space set as well, based upon the SpaceX posters. That's a very cool set. I've got a set sitting in front of me here at the moment. I love them. So go check them out. Love feedback about that and pick them up if you want. But until next week, stay responsive and I will see you then. Bye.